You may be seated. I was severely reprimanded last week for not introducing our speaker, Jeff Arthurs, last week. Jeff is a good friend, professor at the seminary, teaches homiletics. Most of you know that, but for those of you who are new, this is a delight to have him here. His wife is here, Liz. Like most of us men, Liz is a wonderful person, and let me just say, Jeff married up. Jeff.
This is the last week of our summer series. I began the series with two messages back in, was it May or early June? And here we are finishing it out in early September. It has been an honor to be here at one of the great flagship evangelical churches in this little corner of the world. You may not think of yourselves that way, but I preach at a lot of different churches. I go around here and there. This is a great church. It's an excellent church. Keep doing what you're doing. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you preach the gospel, make disciples, win the lost, baptize in his name, and do the job that he has left us with and given us the Spirit to empower that work. Well, the topic today is old age. I thought it would be appropriate to finish our series by talking about the end of life, or at least the last few laps around the track of life. And I'd also like to speak about this because I have personal experience with this topic. You know how in the middle of this series, lay people from the church spoke on areas of their expertise, finances and communication and so forth. Well, this is one area that I'm gaining more and more expertise with. Some of you say, you don't know anything yet. Just hang on. Just keep going and it will occur. Now, young people, you're off the hook today. But let me just say a couple of words to the young people. The first word is Proverbs actually says much more to young people than to old people. In fact, much, much more. Really, the whole book is addressed to, a parent to a child or a teacher to a student. Really, the whole book. And then we also have specific passages like, my son, listen to my words and give ear to your mother's teaching. So, yes, you're off the hook for this day, but secondly, I would say, as you listen to this teaching for the old folks, maybe you can file it away back here because you'll get there one day in the Lord's providence, and so maybe this is something to aspire to, maybe to determine in your heart now to finish your course well. So what does the Bible say about old age? One thing it says, with a refreshing, although sobering frankness, is that it is tough. The deterioration of the body and maybe of the mind is acknowledged frankly. For example, in the epistles, 2 Corinthians, if this earthly tent we now live in, talking about the body, if this earthly tent is destroyed, the Greek word is dismantled, like taken apart piece by piece. There goes another piece. If this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heavens. But meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. But while we are in this tent, we groan. Can I get a witness? It is sobering. Your elasticity stops being so elastic. Your synapses start misfiring. Your memory lurches. Your balance wobbles. Consider the poetry
of the Old Testament. For example, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Young people, okay? Remember the Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. And the years approach when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And the passage goes on and it talks about, in a poetic way, it talks about the keepers of the house trembling. Probably means the legs, the pillars, the keepers of the house. The grinders cease, probably teeth. The grinders cease because they are few. The grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Consider the stories, some of the stories in the Old Testament. For example, Genesis 27, when Isaac was old and his eyes were weak. Genesis 48, Israel's eyes were failing because of old age. 1 Kings chapter 1, when David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm even when they put covers on him. So the Bible frankly acknowledges that these bodies are being dismantled. We groan as we feel ourselves decline. Reflexes slow. Endurance tuckers out. And as I said at the beginning, I'm of an age now where I can testify to this, and I recognize that some of you say, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. I recognize that. But the Bible acknowledges the human condition, the human experience in this fallen world, and we sigh and we groan. Now, the Bible says something else. It says we not only groan, but it also says that old age is to be honored. For example, Leviticus chapter 19, rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. Interesting progression of thought there. Rise in their presence, show respect. That's basically the same idea. And then it tacks onto it and revere your God. Apparently, our horizontal relationships, in this case, the way we treat old people, is somehow part and parcel and bound up with the fear of the Lord, with this biblical worldview, the way we treat each other. 1 John says the same thing. The way we treat each other, revere the Lord your God. One of the signs of an ungodly society in Isaiah chapter 3 is that the young people will rebel against the old people. It's one of the markers. And as Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. And so there's an honor and a dignity, a glory, a splendor that the Bible attaches to getting old also. The phrase gray hair is used 22 times in the Old Testament. Almost all of those 22, it's talking about honor and respect. Not always, but most of the time, the Bible is clear that the gray hair is a sign of dignity and should be honored. Rise in the presence of the aged. And then Proverbs 16:1, we've already heard that verse in the scripture reading. 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by a righteous life. A crown of glory or splendor, a crown, the reward, the indication, the sign of achievement, a crown of glory. of glory. So I think we probably need a paradigm shift. We live in a very youth-oriented culture, right? And honoring old age is not something that's self-evident and one of our strong cultural values. It is a cultural value in other places, filial piety, reverence to your elders. But in America, you know, fashion is dictated and oriented toward young people, and our entertainment arises out of young people, and certainly we define beauty by youth and our appearance. And so we old people, you know, we have all these body-altering techniques, you know, liposuction and face lifts and, you know. But the Bible says old age is not something to be resisted and camouflaged. It is something, yes, we acknowledge with a sigh, but also something to be honored. You old people have built a house of wisdom, brick by brick, and that is something to be marked and acknowledged and honored. So, rise in the presence of the age. Now, is simply getting old all that it takes to deserve or to warrant this crown of glory? No, I may have gone too far too fast. Yes, there is a certain dignity and a reverence simply because a person is old, but it really needs to be, in order to get a crown, it really needs to go deeper than that. So let's nuance this a little bit. Chapter 16, verse 31, once again. Gray hair is a crown of glory. Keep reading. It is attained by a righteous life. Getting old is one thing, and there's a certain honor due to that. But for some people, all we can say is they have gotten old. But the crown, the marker, the symbol of achievement and honor and reward, the crown of glory, crown of splendor, is attained with a long obedience, a long story, walking with God, living in the holy love of God. And when you do that, and when you arrive at old age, and when you have gray hair, and that gray hair marks a life of obedience, let me tell you, it is a crown of glory. It is splendid. It is the sign of a discipleship walking steadily in the fear of God. Now, in Hebrew, this phrase, crown of glory, actually rhymes. You know, English proverbs often will use sound values like birds of a feather flock together, look before you leap, as the L sound. Well, sometimes Hebrew does the same thing. It has those sound values. And in Hebrew, this phrase, crown of glory, is actually ataret tipperet. So I'm going to borrow a proverbial technique, and I'm going to put the teaching today into one sentence, and I made a little couplet out of it, a little rhyme for you, and here it is. A head of gray is a crown of glory at the end of a righteous story. Story meaning your life, the narrative of your life, your walking with God. A head of gray is a crown of glory if, assuming when it comes, at the end of a righteous story. So here's an older gentleman. He's walked with God for many years. He's recently retired. His finances are in order. He still has strength for another lap around the track, if not two or three. And he's trying to figure out what to do with himself. What to do, what to do, what to do. He has time now he's never had before. So he goes on a short-term missions trip, and he visits an orphanage. And while he's there, God just absolutely touches his heart and he calls him. I don't use that terminology lightly. He places on this man's a heart a calling, a desire, a vision to bless these people. He goes back a second time. He starts making a couple of trips a year. He sets up the books for the orphanage because he has expertise. He helps them with their computers. He raises funds in his home church. He gets people in his former business who are not even believers to contribute and help out. And he is a father to the fatherless. And he clothes the naked and he feeds the hungry. And he ministers to the least of these. And his gray hair is the marker of a life well spent. At the end of this steady, long obedience, a righteous story. Here's an older couple. They're in their late 60s. And they're reading after breakfast. They have kind of devotions together, and they're reading in the scripture. And this particular day, they're reading from Titus, that passage we heard earlier. And they read, "Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be reviled." And this older couple closes the Bible, and they look at each other and they say, "We got to do something about that." we were thinking that life is basically over, but here it says we have a present. And they start inviting young people, some single people, some engaged people, inviting them to their house and just, you know, hospitality and entertaining. And one thing leads to another, and they actually form a small group. And these young people sit at the feet of this older couple and just soak it in. And they just love receiving this wisdom. It's like watching black and white television, a Leave It to Beaver. They listen to all their old stories. And the older couple doesn't, they don't take themselves too seriously. They've made plenty of mistakes along the line. But here they are, still at it, in their late 60s. Living a righteous story. And these young people are beginning to sense that these older people are a treasure, an untapped resource, and they crown it in their hearts. They crown these people with honor and splendor. A head of gray is a crown of glory. If, when, assuming, it comes at the end of a righteous story. The scripture says in Psalm 71, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation." Doris Haddock was the feature of a story on NBC back in the early 2000s. Doris Haddock was 89 years old, and she was walking across America from west to east. She was a great-grandmother. She had planned to arrive in Washington, D.C. in January on her birthday, on her 90th birthday. She had arthritis in her feet. She had emphysema. After she crossed the Mojave Desert, she spent 4 days in the hospital dehydrated. And why did she do this? What was her cause? Campaign finance reform. I imagine it's a good cause, you know, the use of corporate money to support political candidates, and she was trying to call attention, this shouldn't happen, and she gave everything for that cause. What can you give to the kingdom of God? What do you have? What is available? Do you have time? Do you have experience? Have you learned through the bumps and the thorns and hedges of life? Have you learned to speak the truth in love? Do you have expertise? The Lord isn't done with you yet. One of the compensations for old age is that actually our most productive years in the Christian world are in our 50s and 60s, 70s, sometimes even 80s. What can you give to help this church, these young people, your family? How can you help them construct a house of wisdom? These young people need your help. These poor, naive, clueless, ignorant young people, they're just wandering around with it. Psalm 92. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Would you like to become an elder of this church? Would you like to step up into a leadership role? Would you like to start hosting some young people in your house? Would you like to serve on such and such a committee to lend of your knowledge and expertise? Stay fresh and green. So what does the Bible say about old age? It says it's tough. We acknowledge it with a sigh. It says it is to be honored, rise in the presence of the aged. And it says that you should keep living your righteous story. Then your gray hair will be a crown, a marker, a reward, the sign of a life well spent. May God help you, may he help me finish well. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Do not forsake us when we are old and gray, but walk with us so that we will walk with you. Through Christ our Lord, amen.